is made plain. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for these good songs we were able to sing tonight. Lord, just bless Your Word. Give us what we need and instruct and guide us tonight. Pray in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Brethren, our text tonight says, the way of the slothful is an hedge of thorns. The way of the slothful is as an hedge of thorns. Now, we need to define some words. We need to define what slothful means. Alright? And you've probably already got an idea of it. The idea you've got is probably right. You know, when you think of slothful or sloth, you think of the animal, the sloth. And how it moves so slow. Just in its eyes are kind of droopy. You know, and it moves so slow that algae, it gets camouflaged because it moves so slow. It's so just indolent that algae grows in its fur. It turns kind of green. You know, it just kind of a natural camouflage. It just kind of moves real slow and just kind of hangs sometimes upside down, you know. And you look at it. It's not a creature that's very industrious, all right? Slothfulness. The word slothful in the dictionary is defined as this. Inactive, sluggish, lazy, indolent, idle. I want you to notice something. Notice according to our text, look at verse 19. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. You know, Proverbs is so full of contrasts. In one verse, so often in the book of Proverbs, you'll have two ideas, two principles contrasted. Well, what we have tonight, verse 19, we have this thing of slothfulness, but notice how it's contrasted in the same verse. Notice the contrast, but the way of the righteous is made plain. You know what? According to the contrast of this text, slothfulness is unrighteousness. It's sinful. So it's not just a matter of someone saying, well, you know, I guess I could be a little bit more industrious. You know, slothfulness is something that needs to be repented of and confessed as sin. Something that needs to be repented of and confessed as sin. All right? It's unrighteous. And the contrast in our text shows us that. Go to Matthew 25. Go to Matthew 25. We'll see it even plainer in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Verse number 14. Matthew 25, verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, look at this, thou wicked and slothful servant. Wicked and slothful. Thou knewest thou reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice that this servant, this slothful servant, is said to be wicked. And our context tonight in Proverbs 15, 19 shows us that slothfulness is sinful. Brethren, it's a sin for us to be lazy and idle slothful, inactive, sluggish. It's a sin for us to be that way. Boss, I'm tired. I just think it's not sin to be tired. It's sin to be lazy. It's sin to be sluggish. It's a sin not to go ahead and just pull yourself up and go forward and on and go the path of duty and do that which is right in so many things. It's a sin to be that way. All right, and I want to look at a few things here tonight. Brethren, a man can be slothful in so many areas. A man can be slothful in body. But I'll tell you something. I want to encourage every one of you. Those of you here that are members of this church, I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to try to help you in all kinds of ways. Listen, I want to encourage you. Get some exercise. Get some exercise. So, Brother Dawson, the Bible says, I know we're going to look exactly what the Bible says, and I'm going to explain these things to you. Get some exercise. Don't worship the body. Don't go overboard, but get some exercise. You need to. Every one of us in this room, you need to get some. Make the time. I don't know what kind it would be for you, but get some. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. verse 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, or that which is to come. So, what are the results? Bodily exercise profiteth little. All right, yeah, but it didn't say it didn't profit. It said it profiteth little. But let's put it in context. Put it in context. The man writing that is a man who walked just about everywhere he went. All right? So you got to understand something. I believe the context Paul's talking about is exceeding beyond just the regular exercise that a man would get in his daily affairs back then, and a worshiping almost of the body. Brethren, look, they walked everywhere they went. Their vocations allowed them to move their body around and to get exercise. Things are different today, and you need to make the effort to get in something now that doesn't naturally occur. You know what it'll do? It'll help you keep your. It'll help ward off sickness. Let me explain what I mean. What helps you to resist disease or things? Your lymphatic system. And from what I gather, the lymph that is held in your lymphatic system, it moves around by when your body moves. It's not like your circulatory system where your heart just pumps it. But when you move your body, that lymph moves around all throughout your body. And so exercise helps keep you healthy. Helps keep you well, makes you feel better. It'll help your blood. It'll help everything. Brother, I'm not talking about you getting on a kick of just going, but I'm telling you, our lives are different today. And we don't get the walking in and the such in that people used to get like Paul did. And vocations are different. My goodness, brethren, I mean, people used to have a garden they had to work in or out there in the field and this, that, and the other. I mean, man, you're flat tired at the end of the day. Our vocations are different, but you need that. You just need that for a baseline. I mean, I believe what Paul was talking about was going beyond the baseline. When he was talking about body exercise, about a little. Man, he was walking everywhere he went. The vocations were different. You need to get some in. Brother Austin, I'm too busy. No, you can somehow work it in. Somehow you can and you need to. Be it walking, riding a bike, doing, whatever. Do something and dedicate yourself to it, you know, and... But also, the video games count? No. Exercising your fingers, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is you doing something. Getting out and moving yourself. You'll feel better. It'll help you. And I believe it's honoring to the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost if you're saved. And it'll be honored unto God. And it'll help you out. And brothers, so often, listen, the thing of it is, it's like, well, I've got 1,000, and I know what you mean. I know there's so many things that go on. But brethren, make the time. And you know what? Once you make the time, you'll get into the habit. And once the habit starts, it's just so much easier. Just get back into the habit. You ever remember when maybe, look, you I guarantee a lot of you, look, you get up at a certain time, and even at least on your days off, boom, you're up at that time. Because you just have it now. You just have it. It's the same thing with this. Develop it into a habit. Out morning, evening, sometime. One thing I'll tell you, I got to give my dad credit. My dad had a heart attack about 15, 16, 17 years ago. I mean, he was dying in the doctor's. Thank God, thank the Lord, he had it in the doctor's office, but he was dying there. Had a pretty good heart attack. Man, he followed the doctor's orders, did what he's supposed to do. He walks all the time. He'll go, take time, walk about 3 miles, or he'll get the time in. He's really done good the last 15 years. I mean, really done good. Done like he's supposed to do. Try to get him something. Get the time in, brethren. I'm not going to keep elaborating on this tonight. Brethren, look here, I want to help you. I want to help you a little bit. And our lives are different now. All right? And so you need to make the time to get that in. You know, brethren, you know, so often why we don't. And brethren, it's been in my life. It's been all us. We're just lazy about it. So often we're just lazy about it, and we just don't want to put the effort out. I'm going to tell you something, brethren. Look here. Don't you remember this? When you stop moving, the old phrase, use it or lose it. You stop moving, you're going to stiffen up in this life. All right? Her grandmother got the point that, no, her great grandmother got the point where she just said, that's it, and laid down. That was it. Her mobility got so bad that finally they couldn't even, when she was buried, I mean, they put in the coffin, and they have trouble, they couldn't straighten her body out. She just, look, she stiffened up so bad. Hey, my grandma, she's late, she just sat down and quit, and that's it. I'm telling you, I've heard people tell me before concerning elderly people, whenever you sit down, you're just about done. You know, you're going to stiffen up. Keep moving, keep going. Don't you be done till God's done with you. And so I just want to throw that out to you tonight, just concerning, you know, don't be lazy in the body. Get you some exercise. Get some. It'd be walking. It's one of the great best things you can do. All right, we'll have to just do something and get you moving some. All right. You can be lazy. You can be slothful in body. You can be slothful in business. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12. You can be slothful in business. Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 11, who the Bible says, not slothful in business. Not slothful in business. In other words, don't be lazy in your business affairs. Don't be idle, don't be sluggish, don't be lazy in your business affairs. But also, what are you talking about? Okay, here's some things I'm talking about. don't be slothful in business, okay? If you have a checking account and you write a check, guess what you do? You annotate that in and you subtract it from the amount you've got. And if you don't do it, you know why you don't do it? Because you're lazy about it. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be nasty. As you pack, I'm trying to help you. You know what? You're being lazy about it. Well, I'm going to do it when you get home. Tomorrow. Well, you know, Saturday, I really plan on sitting down and I'm going through that checkbook and I'm going to get it all together. Then you might have some big surprises too. Who in this room can afford cancel check fees? Can't afford that stuff. All it takes is not being lazy. If you write a check, subtract it. Keep your balance. Know what you have. Know what you have. Don't be lazy. Don't be sluggish. Don't be idle. If there's a bill due, pay it. If you run into problems, pray and call the people up and say, could you work with me a little bit? I'm telling you, so many places will work with you. They just want to hear from you. So many places, they want to help you. They just want to hear from you.
Right.
Hey, if you owe somebody some money and you're having trouble paying, talk to them. Call them up and say, I know I owe you it. Will you work with me? Brethren, to not do these things, there's only one word for it. Slothful, lazy, idle. Alright? And it'll hurt you. It'll hurt us. Alright? It'll hurt your reputation. It'll hurt your finances. It'll hurt you at home. Right? And brethren, look here. It's I cannot help but wonder if the devil doesn't get into that thing. Because how much effort does it take? How long does it take to go put in amount minus by calculator? If it's 8, listen, hey, if you need to, get a calculator. You know, and okay, now here's my new total. Here's what, so if you go to the next place, here's how much I have. Instead of, honey, I don't feel like cooking tonight. I'm tired. I don't feel good. What? This calls for pizza. Honey, go ahead and spell pizza. Oh, let's do that. Well, do we have enough? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, there's enough. Yeah, go ahead. You know. So pizza man comes. Oh, yeah, I give him a little tip, too. You know. So if you got the special, man, got a bunch of large for $20, and you bounce a check, you're liable to have a $35 pizza. Come on. Nobody in this room can afford that. And it's foolish and it shouldn't happen. It's not right. Man, look here. Stay on. It doesn't take that much time. It's a matter of not being lazy. Gentlemen, look here. Don't slough off your finances on mama. Don't slough your finances off on the wife. Okay? I mean, look, however you work that thing, but you need to have a handle on things and know what's going on. Because it's like, honey, vroom, there's that book, there's the bills, you take care of that stuff. That's mean. That really is mean. I mean, maybe it's okay if maybe you work together with it. But gentlemen, don't you lay that thing totally on her. At least work with her. Because you know why? She's going to be the one so often then, if you're not doing right, she's got to handle the phone calls. Miss so-and-so, you know, you're late on this place. You know, she don't want to deal with that. You know, then she gets tired of it, and she comes in, honey, I wish you'd deal with that. And then you just got off from work, and you're like, oh, talk about it. Y'all is on my back about this. I, you know. The devil just loves it. The devil just loves it. Not slothful in business. Then let's stay on top of our finances. Listen, pay your bills. If you've got behind, call the people. I mean, if it's a business, if it's an individual, if it's somebody in your church, somebody in your family, somebody, call a person, get it dealt with, work at it, get the thing clear, and learn from it. Don't be slothful in business. Hey, I'll tell you this too. Another thing we need to be careful about. Let's just suppose, God help us, brethren. There's probably so many ways we can all search ourselves and see these things. But let's suppose you have a deal with somebody and somebody pays you or they're looking for you to deliver something, deliver it on time. Deliver it on time. Don't be slothful in business, all right? Now, don't be slothful in your body. Don't be slothful in business. Don't be slothful in spiritual matters. Go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Mom, Dad, how about this? Before they step out into that great big world out there, explain financial matters to them. Explain to them about a checkbook, about a savings account, about this and that. And explain that you know, checks do not automatically mean you have money as long as you have checks. I tell you, I really believe there's some people that have that misconception. I had checks. But that's not the same as having money in the bank. But honestly, some people do like that. And just, you know, put them out. Stay on top of it. Hey, one more thing. If you use those machines, debit, if you use it, put it, log it in. Know what's going on. Know what's going on, people. Know what's going on. Please. It will help keep arguments down in your home. You will have money to do something for God with. You will. I'm telling you, brethren, it's so many times, it's the little things that kill you. We had a neighbor years ago, and her marriage just fell to pieces. She told me, and my wife said, my husband nickel and dimed us to death. She said, my husband nickel and dimed us to death. And that's what happens. Usually, the little things that build up. Hey, John D. Rockefeller, a man who probably knows a little bit about making some money. John D. Rockefeller Sr., you know what he did? He was some long time touring his plant, and he was watching them solder the oil cans together. And he said, how many drops of solder you use? They said, 40. He said, can you do it with 38? 38 drops. They were doing 40 drops. They did the experiment. It leaked for 38, but it sealed up for 39. So that was one less drop of solder, but it saved them thousands of dollars a year. Most of us would be like, what is one drop of solder, man? It's thousands of dollars over a year. They made a lot of cans of oil that they had. All right, brother, it's little things. I'm telling you, it's the little things that will mess you up. Stay on top of them. Please stay on top of them. All right, Hebrews 6, verse 12. Don't be slothful in spiritual matters. Hebrews 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Brethren, don't be slothful in spiritual things. So often, why do we not read our Bible? We're lazy. Brethren. Now, we're not going to make any progress with God tonight. Let's be honest. Okay? I don't know about you, but brethren, in my life, unless I have had emergency situations, for the most part, if I'm not up to date on my Bible reading, it's because I'm lazy. Brethren, what am I going to do? Lie to you? I've gotten on my knees before God and said, God, I've been slothful today. I've had to confess it as sin. We don't read our Bible so often, brethren, because we're lazy. We don't pray because we're slothful. Right? We don't take and do the things that we need to do because we're slothful. Because we just can't get the inertia, overcome the inertia to just get up and do it. So often in life, brethren, so many things are just a matter of doing it. And the devil wants to keep you seated. Listen, so often why do people not come to church? They're lazy. Brethren, if people did church like they did their job, they'd never have a job. They'd get fired. I know things come up. I understand that. But brethren, many, many times, it's a matter of being lazy. There's no other word than that good old-fashioned word of lazy and slothful. I just didn't want to get up and do it. That would almost be refreshing to hear. you can almost deal with that. You can say, amen, it's sin, but at least it's honest. Bible reading, prayer, attending church, hey, brethren, doing something for the Lord. You know, getting up and doing something for the Lord and witnessing to folks or passing the track out or inviting somebody to church. So often, brethren, it's just a matter of us not being lazy. Don't be slothful in spiritual things. And you say, brother, honestly, here's what happens. Listen, me and Brother Rodriguez, when we were here rolling out that carpet, me and him and Ben were rolling the carpet out here. And we got a good rhythm going. And then something happened and we kind of stopped a minute and See, it's that initial inertia to overcome that's hard. That's why, brethren, the devil wants to sidetrack and get you stopped. Because he knows once something stopped, it's harder to get back going. Now, it can get back going. It can. And you can get the same rhythm got going again. But see, he's counting on that most people will just take and say, just give in to laziness. Just give in to slothfulness. But that's not what you want. That's not what you want. You can't. Look here. If you've got a business, you can't be slothful, can you? That business will never make a profit. You won't stay in business long. You know, you've got to encourage everybody in your business to be there and to be punctual and give their best and do, you got to have that. But in the spiritual matters, we can't be slothful. If we are, we'll suffer loss in eternity. Eternal loss of reward. Brethren, we'll have a rough time of it here also. Look, if your Bible reading is suffering, your prayer is suffering, your service for God is suffering, your church stand is suffering, just admit to God what it is. I'm just lazy about it, Lord. And God, help me to do better. And then determine to do better and do better. Brethren, slothfulness. What did our text say? Go back to Proverbs 15. What did our text say? Proverbs 15, 19. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. You see, according to our text, slothfulness will make your way as an hedge of thorns. Slothfulness will keep you from getting anything done. Just imagine, let's suppose a man ran into a hedge of thorns. Can you imagine what he would say? I can't get through. Ow, it hurts. I keep getting stuck. This is the same excuses of being slothful. Well, I just can't do it. Ow, that hurts. That's uncomfortable. I just keep running into problems. Excuses, brethren. Excuses. I believe our text shows us that a lot of these things will disappear if you make the effort. If you're not slothful, you'll find a lot of these things kind of disappear. And they're not as bad as they seem. Where I grew up, they used to say this, can't, never could do nothing. Can't, never could do nothing. I remember one time we were getting in some, we had to, was pulling the corn wagon, we was getting corn in, and one of my cousins made the bad mistake of saying, I can't, boy, he got ringed. Can't, never could do nothing. Boy, they got all over him. You know what? He could. He didn't want to. He's being lazy. You know, brother, and when you're like that, any excuse will, you know, any old port in a storm, any excuse will do. Well, I just can't, and I'm just, and you know, and now it hurts, and it's uncomfortable, and yeah, overcoming that initial inertia is uncomfortable. But once you get to going with it, you get a rhythm established with it again, and you're getting somewhere. Listen, brother, go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 13. I love this. Proverbs 22, 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. There's a lion out there. I'll get killed. But you know something? When you're lazy, you will pull them out of everywhere. You will pull excuses out of everywhere. When the truth is, you're just lazy. Really. You know, brother, when it comes to do something for the Lord, we will pull stuff out. I mean, the wildest stuff. You know what? If God was to write in the sky some of the excuses we have used from not doing anything for Him, we would probably flee off to a deserted island somewhere and say, Lord, I don't want to show my face again. That was so lame. Oh, Lord, no, don't show that. That was so lame. But really, some of the excuses that we've used before. Some of the things that we come up with in our mind. And we try to comfort ourselves with. And all they are so often are excuses for being lazy. Hey, I didn't say it's that case in all the time. But you know when you've got something legit and when you're just making an excuse for laziness. And slothfulness is sin. That slothful man says, there's a lion with that. I should be slain in the streets. You know something? The Bible says the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. See, some folks are like, I don't know. I know if I dedicate myself to doing something for God, you know, the devil's really going to come against me. And well, who's more powerful, the devil or the Lord? Well, you know, the devil, I don't know. I can't handle him coming against me and my family. The slothful man saith, there's a lion without. I should be slain in the streets. That's an excuse. And you're dishonoring your Father, your Heavenly Father, by taking such an attitude. But look what our text says. Go back to Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but look at the latter part of the verse. But the way of the righteous is made plain. How about that? You see, the righteous man, the industrious man, doesn't meet with the pretend obstacles of the slothful. How about that? You see, the righteous man, the man that's industrious, he doesn't meet up with the same obstacles that the slothful does, because they're pretend obstacles. Or rather, perhaps, instead of looking at them as obstacles, the industrious man looks at them as challenges. And a lot of it is how you look at something. You know what? Theodore Roosevelt had a game he would do with his children. And by the way, you gotta understand how Theodore Roosevelt was. He believed in he called it the strenuous life. He was an asthmatic boy who, by sheer determination, transformed his health as a young man and became one of the most robust presidents we've ever had. He believed in the strenuous life. In fact, one of his relatives said one time, "You must remember the president is about six." He was something, man. He was a character. But you know what he would do? He played a game with his kids. Up at Sagamore Hill, which was where he lived, at his home when he wasn't, you know, at the White House, he had this game. And here's what they would do. He would get all his kids, and he played it himself too. All right? And here was the thing. You started off on a straight line. You had a destination to get to. And you had to go over every obstacle. You could not go around it. Straight line. And if it was a building, somehow you had to crawl over it. If it was a down tree, somehow you had to get over it. If it was a cliff, you had to climb it. If it was a stream, swim it. You, no going around, no whatever, straight through. And they took their aunt on it one time, and she had a hard time getting over it, but they all cheered her on, and she did it, and she made it. And that was good. That's good. That's good. I tell you, I'm sure it taught his kids. By the way, one thing about his kids, at least the world's sons, man, when I got there, wasn't much lack of industrious in most of those boys. Some of them were war heroes, great men. But you know what? Hey, there they got. Not an obstacle like, "I can't do it. Let's go around it." He said, "Go over it." It's pretty good. But so often, the obstacles in our lives are paper tigers. The devil has put something there that's not really true. And we let it defeat us. Did you know I read of a man one time in a prison, in a jail rather, in a Latin American country. And the city was kind of poor. And so they made the cell look like it was made of big blocks. There was an earthquake, and come to find out, the back wall of the cell was absolutely, you could have pushed it over with your hands. It was nothing to it. Nobody ever tried. You know what's holding us in so often in our life? Illusions. Lies of the devil are keeping us back. "Well, this will happen or that will happen. Well, I just can't. Well, I'm just not talented." Who is? Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Who is? You know, Brother Niels was telling the kids up here the other day when we were having choir, and he was trying to encourage all of us in the choir, the kids and everything. You know, he said that to do something, you know, for the Lord. He said, you know, you might think, Brother Niels said, you know, with his personality, he's not exactly the introverted kind of guy, you know. He said, you might think it'd be easy for me to talk to people. He said, but you know what? He said, I have to overcome that. In fact, you know, he's talking about some of the struggles he has because of his personality, and he needs the Lord. But that's all of us. It's not you. If you're doing it in your power and might, it'll amount to zilch in eternity. You can just about count on it. Well, Brother Lance, I can't do it. Well, there you go. But God can through you. Paul said, listen, when he was weak, that's when the Lord could be strong in him. All right? So brethren, look here. So often we make excuses. Let me say this to you. When the righteous man, when the industrious man does meet with real obstacles, what he does? Through the Lord, he surmounts them. See? The righteous man goes on and finds out that most of the time, those obstacles aren't real. But when he really does meet with one, he finds out that through the Lord, he can overcome them. Take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. I mean, our text tonight said that the way of the righteous is made plain. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." But brother, also, if he may lead me somewhere I don't understand, that's right. Just as long as you're clear that you're doing and following him the best you can, that's all right. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all things. Are you getting ready to do something? Acknowledge him. "Lord, I need your help. I need your guidance." Hey, are you getting ready? Hey, Brother Chris, Brother Niels, Brother Phil, gentlemen, I hope and pray before every one of you participate in your respective ministries that you have, fellas, pray before you do. Pray that God will give you something. Pray that God will guide your words as you study to get something together. Hey, don't take it for granted. Get down and say, Lord, I need something from you. Just an acknowledgement of God. Just an acknowledgement saying, Lord, I don't have it in me. I'm looking to you. And acknowledge it. And get something from Him. All right? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. But listen, brethren, more so than just praying the words, it's a belief and a trust in the heart. I mean, Christians pray about everything. You know. They don't believe God for nothing, but they pray about everything. Because they know somebody's going to ask them, well, have you prayed about it? And you've got to be able to say, you know, unless you're so backslid you don't mind lying, you've got to say, oh, I prayed about it. I prayed. But brethren, you prayed, but did you trust? You prayed, but did you trust? Make sure that you don't pray just to cover yourself and say, I prayed. Make sure that you really said, Father, I really want to know your will. And acknowledge Him in the given situation. He shall direct your path. You can count on that. Again, can't, never, could, do nothing. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Let me tell you something, brethren. Don't fall prey to the socialistic attitude that so many people are falling prey to today. Socialistic attitude, Brother Doss, what are you talking about? Yeah. It's the attitude of, I'm going to work here, but don't ask me to do more. Well, Phil, you've run into, you know, don't ask me to do more than what I have to do, but give me the moon. You guys know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. You've seen it on jobs. You know, you've seen it on jobs. Listen, I'll tell you, sir, in Ben's history and everything, I was going over with him. Brother, it's sad. You know, if I go out here, when I came up, I learned this, that if the man I'm working for, if I don't like him, can't get along with him, and God ain't holding me down to it, I got an option. See ya. Rather than running him down, you know, and running down through the ground, this, that, and the other. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. There's an attitude today, and it is really getting prevalent in a lot of things, and it's scary. There's a generation coming up, brethren. They don't want to do anything, but they want the moon. Give me the sun, the moon, and the stars, but don't ask me to do anything. Brother, look at, don't let your kids fall into that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Look, I had an uncle. You worked for him all day long. And then I knew what he was going to say. He'd get you before you left, he'd say, what owe you? Oh, man. You had a name, what you know. And usually, I just say, well, $5, you know. But you know what? Look here. I always felt funny about that because I was like, oh, man. That, you know, I mean, I couldn't take advantage of him. You know, I couldn't. You know, you'd work all day out there. I mean, $5 was a whole lot. But you know what? It's five more than I had. It was five more than I had starting out. And kids, look here. Don't get an attitude. Moms, dads, don't let your kids get an attitude that, you know, they need the sun, moon, and stars given to them. Teach them to be thankful and appreciative. Look at Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There you go. Don't worry about the obstacles, whether real or false. Just go forward and look to the Lord. Go forward and look to the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But Brother Doss, I know I need to probably get out and walk some, and I know I need a little bit. Okay, just do it. But I just, no, you can't. Make the effort. Make the effort, and God will help you. Make the effort, God will help you. You take your finances. Make the effort, God will help you. You take your bills. If you'll try to do right, God will help you. You take any obstacle. You say, well, I'm scared. I know I need to talk about the Lord. I know I need to probably go, but I'm scared. Make that effort. Watch God help you. Watch God do something in your life. You've got to make the effort, though. But you'll see times in the Bible, the Lord told the children of Israel, He was going to fight for them, but He said, but you've got to go. He told them, you got to go, but I'll do it. You know, brethren, look, God wants us to go and make the effort and not be lazy. And then watch Him work. Brethren, slothfulness is a sin. In closing, go to 2 Kings 7. 2 Kings 7. Well, Brother Doss, I am kind of a procrastinator. No, you're kind of lazy. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not being mean. Honestly, I'm not, brethren. But let's at least call it what it is. Brethren, when I've got down with God in prayer, I'm not trying to tell Him, I'm not trying to use a $10 word. I've just said, Lord, I'm lazy. Lord, I was slothful about this matter, and it's just, Lord, I'm just dog rot sorry, Lord. I just had to tell Him that. He knew it already. He knows how bad I really am. But He was looking for me to own up to it. Well, what do you do with it? Also, I tell you what I've learned. I have learned to do is kick myself, say, God, I'm sorry, and get up and try harder. Nope, stay down. 2 Kings 7, look at verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? And boy, the messages that can be preached from just those that text right there, but I want to leave you with that thought. Why sit we here until we die? If you're not careful, you know what you'll do? You will wait for the will of God, and you'll die still waiting on the will of God. I'm serious. I've told you before, you do the general will of God for your life, and God's specific will for you will unfold. Let's see. Boy, the different people you and I have seen through the years, in this church and any other church that you've been in. Do you know something? God may have for your will, God's will for your life may be to be in this church till the Lord comes back or you die. And I sure wouldn't argue with that. I kind of like that. I get tired of saying goodbye to everybody. But you know something? There may be a year or two, a year from now, God may have something in store for you and direction in your life. You know, listen, every one of us in this room, having this church or some other church you've been in, we've seen people come and go. Sadly, we see most people go because of rebellion. So very often. But you know what? We've seen people go as they follow the Lord, huh? You know? And what I'm saying to you is, brother, look here. You don't know what a year or 2 years may hold here for now, any of us in this room. None of us know. But brethren, God forbid, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'd love to have you here. If that's the Lord's will, for sure. I ain't saying goodbye. But brother, look here, I only want that always if it's God's will. I've learned that something God ain't in gets ugly real quick. But brethren, God forbid, why sit we here till we die? Now, don't just occupy a place until you die or the Lord comes back. Do something. Let me tell you something. Well, Brother Doss, I tell you, I don't want to do the wrong thing. Let me tell you something. I don't worry about that. Don't worry. I mean, listen to me. I don't know now. I don't want to do the wrong thing now. Don't worry about that. Guarantee you, if you try to do something for Jesus and it's not quite the right thing or what God wants you to do, I guarantee you, you will gently hear the Lord say, no, don't do that now. Because I think you'll be pleased with the effort. What I see in my Bible, I believe the Lord's attitude will be, I really do, I believe the Lord will be like, well, praise, bless my name, you're not lazy at least, you're trying to do something for me, you just need a little direction. I believe He'll gently guide you and point you in the direction. You know, don't worry about doing the wrong thing. Just do something. God, He'll gently direct you. He'll. But brother, to sit idle is sin. To sit idly by is sin. Ask God what He would have you do. Now, let me tell you something. You know what? There could be some in this room or some listening to this tape. And you know what? You right now, at this moment in time, you are exactly where you would, God would have you to be and doing what God would have you to do. And really, this message doesn't really convict you a whole lot. That can happen, you know. That can happen. And that's fine. All right? But I'll be honest. If there's a part of your life in any of these areas we talked about tonight that God, by His Spirit, has touched you and said, you're lazy. You're lazy. You didn't used to be, but you got lazy in this area in your life. Why don't you be willing to tell God that it is so, and you agree with it, and you know it, and say, God, help me, and then determine with His grace to do something about it. Man, brother, we want to pull out of here like Paul did. I mean, in it to the end. You know what I'm saying? Not just, brethren, do you want to... Brother, we don't believe in evolution. We don't believe that we're just a bunch of atoms that happen to come together and we're just basically fertilizing that's going. We don't believe that. God forbid, brethren, that we just be like the rest of the world and occupy space. You don't want that. You want to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to take and live for Him, not just exist. All right? Are you doing what God would have you to do? Are you seeking something to do? Brother, I don't know what to do. Mate, we got there's three ministries here at the church. Three guys that I would enjoy your help or whatever you now can. And there may be things going on in your life at this time. There's some things you're having to deal with. Whatever. You know where you're at. I'm just saying, as the Holy Ghost would speak to you, I pray you'd be honest with Him. Man, brethren, why sit we here till we die? Slothfulness is sin. Let's don't let it happen to us. Father, we thank You for Your Word.